Good evening. God bless you. Man, what a great time of worship this was tonight. And I'm going to adopt that moniker, Pastor Tyler. We are the happiest place on earth. And because we don't need a Mickey Mouse, we got a Jesus Christ. And of course, you have a goofy named Pastor Mike, but other than that, we're okay. I want to introduce a friend of mine, Lucas Connell, as an evangelist God brought here from Australia to base. His family lives in the beautiful city of San Diego. It's not a bad city to live in, but we receive him to America as a missionary. And Brother Lucas, would you stand up and let everybody see you? Evangelist Lucas Connell, welcome. Awesome young man, making a difference, a history maker and world shaker. And God is sending reinforcements to the church here. Tonight, I'm continuing a series this month on God encounters. Our subtitle is Jesus Heals All Oppression. Jesus heals all oppression. Religion sets rules. Jesus sets free. And the Jesus that you know refuses to let any other controlling influence rule over your life other than his kingdom. And so you're in in the hand of a God who's determined, like Pastor Tyler said, for you to be completely free from anything that would try to replace his kingdom and his presence in your life, including shame or anything else. Before I open God's word, let me read something, a funny story. 92-year-old man had his checkup at the doctor. The very next day, the doctor saw the man walking through town with a beautiful young woman on his arm. The doctor asked him, "What are you doing?" The man said, "I'm just following your advice, doc." The doc said, "What advice are you talking about?" "Well, yesterday you told me that I should go find a hot mama and be cheerful." The doctor said, "No, I said you had a heart murmur and to be careful." Okay. Let's open God's word, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Going to be my base scripture. We're going to launch out from here. Peter's preaching to the Gentile church, being born at Cornelius' house. And he's introducing them to who Jesus is. And in this one verse, there's such a beautiful encapsulation of Christ. Who he is. What he does. His ministry. His glorious mission. Here's what the Bible says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus the man. With the Holy Spirit and with power. Just making sure you're awake. Who then went about doing good. Now here's now what good looks like to God. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Let me read that again to you. Or just quote it to you. How God the Father anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. With the Holy Spirit and with power. And with power, and with power, and with power. The kingdom of God is not in word, it's in power. The kingdom of God is a demonstration of heaven on earth. And whenever we talk about God without demonstrating God, we're not representing the full manifestation of the kingdom of God. We have fallen into a religious compromise, an immature reflection of a better picture of what God has for the church. And God anointed Jesus. Remember, he's baptized in the River Jordan. He comes up, the Holy Spirit comes down. And then the Bible says, the moment the Holy Spirit came into him, power was made available to him. Heavenly power, the word dunamis. It means great force, great might, great strength, miraculous faculty. It's heaven's power. If you're saved, and especially if you're spirit-filled, you're walking around carrying the arsenal of heaven's weaponry. Heaven's power is in you. It's in you through the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says, Jesus then, all he did, his ministry was a reflection of his relationship. He went about doing good. And how did he do good? He healed all those oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We're anointed in this generation that is being assaulted with mental, emotional, and physical oppression. We are anointed and sent ambassadors of Christ to help people that are bound be free. Jesus wants people free. He wants you free. God's will for your life is freedom. God's will for your life is great victory. God's will for your life is overcoming the enemy. And then to make you an instrument of that overcoming grace to others. I love this, that the mission of Christ is described. Jesus was a devil buster. Every place he went, people got better. Because Jesus vacated, Jesus drove out one tenet and put in another. He was walking love. He was walking joy. He was walking peace. He was heaven on earth. But he didn't just have it himself. He demonstrated heaven on earth by setting people that were oppressed free. Someone's getting set free tonight. The devil's been messing with someone. He has no right. And tonight we're going to enforce your rights, the victory of the cross, the power of God's Spirit, the dynamic dominion of the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a great description of God's end game for our life, the process, the beautiful pathway to freedom. Now the Lord is that Spirit, verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 3. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So any place God's Spirit is, including in your place, right here, the Holy Spirit is on a constant mission to bring about freedom. So I'm free, but the Holy Spirit's making me freer. I'm liberated, but I'm getting more liberated. Amen? So it comes often in stages, in phases, in growth, like anything. We think we're free until we see someone freer. But I just don't think that guy was jumping around the whole worship service. I just don't think that's necessary. 3 months later, it's you jumping up and down the whole worship service. Because you got so free, you stopped caring what everybody thought. You got so touched by God's power, His grace, His love. You started worshiping for Him instead of for others. Man, you just go crazy. So the Holy Spirit always is purposely and powerfully present to bring liberty, freedom to our lives. Wherever he's at, freedom is potentially there. It's potentially there. So God's will for your life is freedom. The enemy's assignment for your life is oppression and bondage. And in the clash of light and darkness, darkness is never the evidence of the defeat of light. It's never the evidence of the lack of authority light has. Darkness is simply the manifestation that light is not present. Whenever we talk about dark the world's getting, don't start bragging about how powerful the enemy is. It just means the church hasn't shined the light of Jesus in those dark places enough. So wherever God's Spirit is, there's liberty. Jesus said in John chapter 8. To those disciples, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple. So a disciple is a continuer in God's word. So we continue. What does that mean? Whatever God has for me in this new season, I want today's word. I want today's manna. I want today's revelation. I want what the Spirit of God has. I want the freedom he's trying to bring to me by the revelation he's releasing to me. I want that. I'm continuing with Christ. And then he said to those disciples, to the continuing ones, you will know the truth, John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth you know will set you free. Truth doesn't set people free till they know it. You have to know it. Gnosko is the main word in the New Testament for knowledge, and it's knowledge that has an inception, a progression, and an attainment. So it's knowledge that has a growth track to it. It begins by initial revelation, but then like a seed planted in your soul, if you keep it and water it, it grows into the freedom it promises to bring. God's will for you is freedom. God's will for this generation is freedom. God's will for your children is freedom and liberty from any and all bondage. I had the experience, I texted Pastor Kwame on Monday because I had the opportunity of being in jury duty. So just what I wanted early Monday morning. So I'm up at 5:30 getting ready for jury duty. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And now just refusing to complain. because Monday's my day off. So I put in a 13-hour workday on Monday. Anyways, I'm down there and been there 11 and a half hours, and they're down. They've almost picked the whole jury. They're down to a couple. And so there's like two of us left that could be in the jury. And finally, they ask the question, well, so I'm juror 15. Juror 15, do you believe people can change? I said, absolutely. I said, man, they're coming over my way a little bit here. Do you believe people can change? Absolutely. Have you ever seen anyone change? Only thousands. Really, tens of thousands. I said, in my own family, my son was on drugs. Now he's free. And so she couldn't help herself. The lawyer finally said, well, what was the key to his freedom? I said, Jesus. Jesus. Now, I knew that would cost me being on the jury. But I got to preach to about 100 people. I said, Jesus sets people free. Jesus set my son free. And that's my mission. As I'm a pastor, I introduce people to Jesus. They said, thank you, pastor. You can be seated.
Get him out of here.
I almost got there, Tyler. I was right there. I was ready to go. And so I know the freedom. Don't ever believe you can't be free. Don't ever stop resisting the enemy, even though it's a battle you have had for years. Well, pastor, you don't know. I've been struggling for this thing for years. I know, but you might be one day away from your liberty moment, your freedom breakthrough. Don't stop believing for freedom. Pastor, I've been wrestling with anxiety or depression or shame or pain or discouragement. That's okay. Keep wrestling. You keep fighting. Never retreat. Never give in. Never accept what God has not sent. Okay. In Acts chapter 19, what Jesus said in verse 36 of John, if the Son makes you free, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. It's a double emphasis. It means free, free. If Jesus sets you free, there's no freedom greater than his. There's no freedom. Come on, there's no love like the love of God. There's no peace like the peace of God. There's no joy like the joy of Jesus in the happiest place on earth here at Church for the Nations. Joy, okay? So freedom, okay? In Acts chapter 19, I want to read this because to me it represents the tactics of the enemy in afflicting people with bondage in their journey, okay? Acts 19, I'll begin with verse 13. Some of the internate Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call upon the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus, over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit said back to them, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who the hell are you? That's a modern translation. Who are you? See, religion doesn't give people identity. It only gives them rules. It only gives them tradition. It only gives them teaching or theology that goes in the head, that has no experience, that has no revelatory power. But if you can't tell life who you are, life will make you into somebody you never wanted to be. You have to say, Pastor Tyler said, I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm blood bought. I'm redeemed. He loved me so much. He sent his son. He calls me his child. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I'm a history maker, a world shaker. I could do all things to Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You have to know deep down in the core center of your belief center, the place where you make your major decisions is down there, what you really believe. See, the things you really believed are revealed by the things you really do. We can say we believe something, but what we do reveals what we believe. And if you believe you're a child of God, then your behavior is going to reflect that belief in Christ-likeness in your everyday life. So anyways, this demon said, who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, and they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So I want to talk about four things. So there's seven of them. There's one skinny, demon-possessed person. He whoops all of them because he has a supernatural agency in him. Now, conversely, if there were seven demon-possessed person and one child of God that knows who they are, he could whoop all the devils in those seven demon-possessed person. The odds, the moment you know who you are and the moment the Holy Spirit is awakened in a revelatory understanding inside of you, you and Jesus form a majority. So anyways, the first thing that happened is the Bible says that they were defeated. The spirit overpowered them. So oppression comes. Now listen to me. Oppression comes when we live in defeat. Any area of your life that you experience defeat in will release uncanny emotional negative instruments into your body, your chemistry, your whole, because you were made to live in the glorious faith and victory of the cross. You were made to be more than a conqueror. You were made to live in hope. Hope is oxygen, and when your oxygen's cut off, your soul begins to strangle, suffocate. And so they were defeated, and people that don't know who they are defeated. So when the enemy wants to oppress someone, he'll defeat them in an area of their life. But the Bible says, greater is he that's in you. Now get this. The devil can't defeat you without your permission. His power is not greater than God's power. His weapons aren't stronger than heaven's weapons. His tactics aren't wiser than God's wisdom and peace in his word. So we have to, in some level, cooperate. And so God wants to break your covenant with defeat. Paul said it like this in Romans 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. When I go through high seasons, I know how to succeed without backsliding. I know how to go through suffering without blaming God. I can go up or down. Wherever life takes me, I can be strong and overcome that season. Life can't defeat me because there's a greater power in me. Jesus in me makes me undefeatable. Romans 8 says this, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hey, just touch someone next to you and say, you're sitting next to a conqueror. Just tell them that. Sitting next to a conqueror. Come on. Everybody wants to be a conqueror. Nobody wants the battle to fight it. Okay. Number two, the spirit prevailed against them. So leaped on them, overpowered them, then prevailed. Number two. When oppression begins to increase its influence in someone's life, it seeks control. So any area of your life where you've lost control, you will be oppressed in. I promise you, any part of your life Satan gets a hold of, he will make worse, not better. He brings oppression. He brings oppression. So they were controlled now by the demonic influence of this man. And I just want to remind you of a couple of things. The devil has no right. Listen to me. The devil has no right to bind you, to afflict you, to addict you. You have authority over everything on the earth. You can't let a chemical or a plant that comes out of the earth control your body. You have authority over the earth. You have authority over demonic powers. But in Luke chapter 13, there's a great story of a woman who was bent over with a spirit of infirmity. Here's what the Bible says. Christ is in the synagogue, Luke 13, verse 10. Teaching, there was a woman there who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Everybody say 18 years. I don't care how long you've had your thing, it's time for it to go. Come on, the moment there's someone here who's had an 18-year thing, it's time for it to leave. She was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. The church is not a self-help clinic. Don't you ever slap someone in the back who's going through hell and say, just get over it. Sometimes they can't get over it without a divine intervention from a powerful, supernatural God who can lift them out of anything. Yeah, they can get over it with the Holy Spirit, with the gifts of the Spirit, with the power of the Spirit. Anyways, She couldn't fix herself, and Jesus called her to him and said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Someone say hallelujah. Okay, that's going to happen here tonight. Why, the same Jesus is going to straighten up someone's life. He's going to straighten up your mind, your heart, your will. But the Bible says the ruler of the synagogue was filled with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Jesus is going to rebuke them for that. He said, "There are 6 days to work. You shouldn't work on the Sabbath." Then Jesus said, "You're a hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall, lead it to water? You feed your animals on the Sabbath." Now here's the point. So ought not this daughter, this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? When he said these things, he's put his adversaries to shame. Now please get this. Jesus said, "You don't understand, that's wrong. It's wrong, the devil's doing that to that woman." Listen, instead of getting mad at whoever you're mad at, okay, whether it's Trump or someone else, whoever you're mad at, you're wasting your anger. Why don't you get mad at the devil? And here's what Jesus said. It's wrong what the devil's done to that woman. And Jesus said, "I'm just going to make a wrong right today." In the old covenant, he healed her by the power of God's covenant through Abram. And if God could heal through Abrahamic's covenant, how much more can he can through the cross, the resurrected Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the living word of God? My. Our new covenant has new promise and power. And we are instruments to help people that have been bent over by oppression to be straightened up. Yeah. She straightened up. 18 years. Man, it's never too late to get your miracle. The third thing that this demon experienced with the seven sons of Sceva happened was the demon stripped all the men naked. Now, please get this. Anytime the enemy has a continual presence, anytime he has an elongated season of oppression in your life, the net result will be the stripping away of your identity. And you won't become, so it's so interesting. We don't know who she is. We just know she's the bent over. See, when you have something long enough, it takes over your identity. A certain man that had never walked, a man sitting by the pool of Bethesda 38 years. You can have something so long, it identifies you to people and it identifies you to herself. And the enemy's tactic is to keep you blinded from who you really are. He's so afraid you'll find out. One Christian can tear up the whole power of the enemy in a city, a whole country. One Christian that knows who they are can transform the world. One believer walking in the righteousness of Christ, knowing their identity in Christ. It's not because we're great. Our God's great. And when you really believe in a great God, you have to stop believing in a small you. I'm a history maker, world shaker. What about you? Okay. Isaiah 61 says this, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in my God. He's clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robes of righteousness." Oh, I love that. So in the kingdom of God, your righteousness is what God's given you in Christ, the right standing, your innocence restored. But it's more than that. Then it's your identity revealed. Your righteousness is who you are in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin, the Father to the Son, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus became what I was. God took my sin, put it on his sinless son on the cross of Calvary so that I could receive the gift of righteousness. My righteousness is not by my behavior, by my own works. It's the gift of God to me through Christ. God sees Michael Maiden as righteous as he sees his son, Jesus Christ, because I have the gift of righteousness given to me as my new identity as a child of God. When I really believe that, holiness becomes the natural byproduct of the revelation of righteousness in the heart of a believer. Instead of demanding holiness, reveal righteousness and watch holiness sprout up. Because when you find out who you are, your behavior changes from the inside out, not by rules. Religion sets rules. Jesus sets free. The last thing that happened was the demon power traumatized them, wounded them. Traumatism is the word. So they were defeated, they were controlled, they were stripped, and then they were traumatized. Now a trauma is a wound, the result of an accident or injury. It's a wound, simply, it's a wound that doesn't heal. It's the lasting, lingering effects of some kind of impairment, injury, accident, problem. And so, trauma, see, lots of people walking around carrying trauma that's opened the door to oppression. And the trauma they're carrying is trying to configure their life into someone they were never meant to be. Trauma turns you into someone you were never meant to be. And they left there changed people. Every encounter you have with God is a transformational, healing, delivering encounter, releasing you from the trauma of this world. And whatever's tried to shape you, mold you, whatever's tried to make you into somebody you were never meant to be, the Holy Spirit of heaven has the authority to undo that damage, to reveal who you always were meant to be in God. We don't want to go to heaven and see the portrait of what God called us to be and see how we lived a different life than that portrait, that we never identified with who God said we were. We want to find out who we are and be free from the trauma of any kind of assaulting injury that's tried to mold me into someone I wasn't meant to be. Pastor, I've been through some serious trauma. Well, the only good thing about that is God has some serious healing for you. Don't ever accept a lie that says you can't recover. Don't ever accept that. See, I've been through things. My beautiful wife and I have been through things as bad in my profession as you can go through. And it was traumatic. But Jesus healed me. Listen, he healed me from trauma. He robed me with my identity. He broke off control. And he made me stop living in defeat. When you stop living in defeat, when you stop letting the devil control you, when you stop letting the devil strip away your identity and stop letting the devil make you into somebody you never were meant to be. See, if you're not careful, young people, this culture will tell you, you got to become a monster to fight the monsters in this world. Well, you don't want to be that person. You don't want to be hard-hearted and cold and indifferent or hateful and spiteful and vengeful. You want to be kind and sweet and tender, Christ-like. Yes, strong. You can be strong and kind at the same time. You want to have compassion for people and feel God's love for people, not be hard or indifferent or callous. You want your heart to be accessed by the Holy Spirit. So don't let anything turn you into somebody you weren't meant to be. The prodigal son comes home in Luke chapter 15. It's such a great story. And he comes home after a devastating season in the world. And he went there in sin. He went there in hubris and arrogance and pride and rebellion. He spent his inheritance on prodigal living. And when the money was gone, the friends were gone, he's feeding himself pig food. Because the devil will always make you feed the thing you hate when you're under his grip. Come on now. I hate doing this. I hate this pornography. I hate doing it. But you got to keep feeding it because you've lost control. And God says, I'm going to break that pattern from your heart. I'm going to break you free from that. And Jesus says, now this is Jesus. He said one day he came to himself. There's no place God's love can't chase you down. Here's what David said. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I go to the highest mountain and find a cave, you're there. There's no place love won't find you. And so he came to himself and he said this. Even my daddy's servants live better than I'm living. See, God wants to make the church, the kingdom of God through people in the church, so attractive to the culture that they say, man, even the ushers at CF10 living better than me, even God wants to show off through your story. His goodness so apparent. His goodness an invitation to the world around us. Look what God does for people. Look how God treats, restores, redeems, heals, blesses. Look what God can do. He wants you to be a walking billboard of Jesus and his restorative power, his redemptive grace. He wants every place you go, your life to be an invitation for others to follow your faith. I'm going to go home. And then the prodigal said this. Now, this is the big thing. He said this. I'll say to my father, I'm no longer worthy to be a son. Just make me a servant. And so I say this. I'm going to remind you of it. The greatest loss that sin produces is broken identity. The greatest loss that sin brings in our life is lost identity. The greatest consequence of sin is lost identity. There. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, he lived so wrong in the wrong place, he forgot who he was. No person who's ever been born made their own life. Did you know you began as a one-cell being? It is the most miraculous thing when you study human development. You began as one cell. You're an overcomer already. There was millions of your father's sperm fighting to find one egg in your mother. And you won. You beat them all back. You won. Now listen to me. Everything about you, your DNA goes to the sun and back 26 times. The DNA in your body stretched out goes millions and miles back and forth. You are so fearfully and wonderfully made. That's who you are. You come from God. But sin, we're born in sin, and so we only have the echo in our conscience of where we've come from. When we come to Christ, our spirit awakens, our consciousness is renewed, and we find out we always belong to God. See, there's only two kinds of people, the people that are home and the people trying to get home. There's only two kinds of people, the people that are home at the Father's house and the people trying to get here. Well, Pastor, are you saying people out there are children of God? Yeah, they just don't know it yet. They can't know it until they come to Father. He said, I'm not worthy to be a son, make me a servant. And so he starts, he's diminished, he's skinny, his clothes are ratted and torn, and he's shuffling home. And when he was a great way off, the father's looking for him, sees him and comes racing down the hill, scoops up his son in his arms and starts kissing his cheeks over and over and over again. The kisses of forgiveness. The kisses of acceptance. There's nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. The devil is a tactician. It'll try to convince you by shame, guilt, condemnation, or religious tradition that somehow you've sinned so greatly, heaven has no remedy for you. In the Bible, there was a king named Manasseh, and he was the wickedest man that ever lived. Okay. He was so bad, the Bible just hints in generalities about his sins, okay? He did horrible things, including child sacrifice and, horrible things. So So he keeps being warned by God, if you don't repent, you're going to get in trouble. He refused. God's mercy endures. Finally, judgment came. The Assyrians came and took him. He's carried to Nineveh. He's now a prisoner. They put a hook in his nose. They strip him naked. He walks through the streets like an animal. They're throwing food to him, mocking him. A king now living and in his prison cell with his nose pierced like an animal. The Bible says Manasseh humbled himself. And he prayed a prison prayer. Now, if I'm God, I'm like, now you want to talk to me? Or forget you, buddy. I've been trying to talk to you for 22 years. No, the Bible says, and when God saw that he humbled himself, God restored Manasseh, brought him out of prison back to Israel. If God gives the wickedest man in the world a second chance, baby, you've got a second chance coming. And don't ever let the devil talk you out of that. Don't ever believe that God somehow is out of the remedy of compassion and redemption. He comes home. The father's kissing him. The son, this prodigal son, begins to spiel. Father, I'm not worthy. Blah, 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 blah. You know what kind of prayers God doesn't hear? The kind of prayers that aren't true. Oh, God, I'm just a worm. Please stop talking like that. Humility is not when you destroy your identity to try to appease God. Humility is when kings and queens take off their crowns and willfully bow and worship before the King of Kings. That's humility. You're a king, you're a queen, you're a prince, you're a princess, you're a priest. And humility is when we honor him, okay? But anyways, he starts going through the speech, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And the father just ignores him and turns to his servant. He says, go back home, get the best robe, identity. Get the ring, authority. Get shoes, destiny. Get the fatted calf, prosperity. Everything, oh my God. You're somewhere in those four things. God's restoring your identity, robing you with who you are in Christ. God's revealing your authority. Man, when you find out who you are, you stop letting the devil push you around. I love to pray for people. But we'll pray for Pastor. Can you come pray for me? You know, something's happening here, or you know, something's moving in my house, or something. There's a demon here. Well, I said, go cast it out. No, well, Pastor, I need you. No, I don't have a big J and you a little J. The same Jesus in me is in you. Go tell the devil he can't do that. Jesus said, it's not right, this woman has been pushed around and bent over for 18 years. Jesus said, think of it. The devil's hurt her. And he had no authority to, because no one showed her who she was. And no one took authority over the thing that was bending her over. Someone here has been fighting depression, but it's leaving you tonight. Oh, the spirit of depression. For 2.5 years, I had it. Oh, Pastor, how are you healed? God robed me. God ringed me. God sandaled me. And God fatted calfed me. He showed me who I was. Your identity unlocks your destiny. Your identity unlocks your authority. Your identity unlocks your prosperity. Everything you need revolves about who you are. When you ask God to give you something, he'll talk about who you are. When you ask God to let you do something, he'll talk about who you are. The who you are is the key to what you'll do in life. And the father said, son, I'm committed for you to get everything back the world took from you. Welcome to the Father's house, the church. That's where Jesus robes us with his righteousness. That's where Jesus reveals our authority. The ring was a signet ring. They did legal documents with it. It was the same as a signature. And so it was authority. In Christ, you have authority. A few years ago, a woman came to me, and she had her family was from Louisiana from New Orleans, and they had a long voodoo history. In fact, it was kind of a complex thing of a mixture of religions. And so in their family, they had an heirloom, a little box. And the little box had been conveyed upon all kinds of divine privilege. This little box, Pastor, it's been in my family for four generations. And everywhere we go, we've taken it. And this little box. And he said, you know, I'm a Christian now. I don't know what to do with it. And she's holding it like, she's holding it so carefully. Here's this box. I said, oh, hand it to me. I took the box. I said, I'm going to put it down right here. Would you step back just a moment? These are 13s, size 13 feet. I'm going to lift up my foot and smash your box, and the building won't fall down. The enemy has no authority without our agreement. And I smashed her box. She went, ooh! And she could not believe it was that easy. I said, had something here happen in this property. There was a room filled with artifacts when we took it over 8 years ago. They said, here's these artifacts, Pastor, from another church, another time. Here's these things. But we haven't really touched them. I said, oh, I'm going to touch them. And I walked in the room, started throwing stuff away. Throw it away. I'll sell this on eBay. Anything I could sell without going to hell, I did. Smashing stuff. Because it only has power if you lend your faith to it. See, a curse in your family only has power as long as you believe in it. The devil lying to you that you can never be free from anxiety or depression or discouragement or stress or any kind of behavior that is compulsive or obsessive, any kind of oppressive work. The devil's a liar. Jesus healed all that were oppressed from the devil. The same Jesus that did that is going to do that. God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our great deliverer. And you, by your Spirit, bring about such freedom. Lift your hands to heaven, would you please? Say this with me. Holy Spirit, thank you for freedom, for liberty. Tonight I claim more liberty and more freedom in my life and in my family. I refuse to be a prisoner of any trauma, of any curse, of any oppression. I claim my freedom as a child of God in the mighty name of Jesus, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. I am a free one. Freedom is mine in Jesus' name. Come on, stand your feet. Give God a shout of praise. That's true. Come on. Come on, someone shout, Jesus. There are six people here tonight. You've been in an elongated, a continuous season of a traumatic struggle with depression. Many of you have been diagnosed. It doesn't matter what the diagnosis is. Jesus is the answer. So I have degrees in psychology. People say all the time, I want to understand people. I want to understand God's word. The greatest book in psychology ever written is the Bible. But Jesus Christ is more powerful than depression. You with me? When I talk about what Jesus did for me, it's like I'm talking about someone else. Because he set me so free. I can hardly believe I wrote a country album. A couple of really good songs, though, I have to say. Jesus is ready to set you free. When I said the story of the 18 years, there's a woman here who has had depression for 18 and a half years from a traumatic moment. And tonight, Jesus, the same Jesus that Peter preached about, is here by his Spirit to bring freedom. If you say, Pastor, I'm one of the six people with depression, or that I'm that woman. So who here, think about your story, add up your years, say, Pastor, it's been 18 and a half years. That's me. I've had this thing for 18 and a half years. Wave your hand at me. Because just like her, thank you, would you please come forward? Let me pray for you. I want the other people, six people to come forward. You've been battling with depression. And listen to me. Here's what I learned about depression. You can't fool around with it. You can't fool around with it. Prayer team, join me down front. God, I thank you for my dear, precious sister. You know, the Lord's very proud of you, ma'am. He's so proud of you because you've borne. Part of what bent you over is you were carrying the weight of four people. The weight of a whole family was put on you. And you've been carrying the weight for so long. And their pain became your pain and their loss. You were more hurt for them than even for you. And it's been hard to get out of that. It was just something that became cyclical. But God's delivering you from it tonight. The moment I touch you, I command the oppression, the enemy unleashed against you. There it goes. To leave you now in the name of Jesus Christ. I loosen you to be free. Love rushes in and fear rushes out in the name of Christ Jesus, the Lord of the church. Pastor Debbie, thank you, Jesus. That you too, honey? Are you up here for 18 and a half years too? So Lord, I declare freedom. In the name of Jesus. So I have a great word for you. So three times. So there's been like episodes of intense darkness. And three times, especially in the last maybe 6 years, it was so dark, you wanted to leave the earth. You wanted to end your life because the pain just was so overwhelming. But Jesus Christ told me to tell you the pain's leaving tonight. The moment I touch you, oppression leaves your body. It leaves your mind. It leaves your soul. Trauma leaves you in the name of Jesus. I saw the enemy said, I'm going to mark her with injury and she'll never recover. But I heard Jesus say, tell her I'm remarking her. I'm marking her with the cross. I'm marking her with love. I'm marking her as a princess. I'm marking her as a Pastor Lindsay, come put your hand in her heart. I'm giving you a new heart, the Lord says. I'm taking out this shattered one. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Keep praying for her if you wouldn't mind for a few moments, whoever wants to. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer team, would you help me and just jump into this? Everything's changing. Okay, everything's changing. Addiction, okay. So look at me for a minute. When you live around people that are bound, it's hard to be free. And your story is not, you didn't self-generate things. You became imprisoned by others' behavior. And you've carried responsibility like it was your fault. The devil is just a massive liar. He's lied to you in so many things. God, I declare over my sister, freedom, 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 freedom in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I thank you, God. Everything shifts in her world. Sweetheart, would you come and help me pray for her? Put your hand in her heart. I'm giving you a new heart. I'm taking out the broken one. 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 Yeah, keep praying. Keep praying. There's both of your siblings are getting miracles. Everyone in your family is going to be delivered. Everyone in your family is you're agonizing for is going to be set free. Okay, 2.5 years ago, the devil tried to burn your house down, tried to break your heart. God's undoing the damage of that night, that day, that season. A brand new, this year began in pain, it's going to end in joy, freedom, and restoration in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, keep praying, keep praying. Everybody lift your hands to heaven. Yeah, lift your hands to heaven, everybody. Come on.
And all your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen.
Pray for them. Thank you, Jesus.
All your promises are yes and amen.
Come on, lift your hands to heaven.
All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises.
I have a great word. I saw a file. I saw a doctor looking through a file. And he said, well, this, this, and this. And I saw Jesus smile. He put his hand on the file and he said, that's enough. So I declare you're free from anything diagnosed or undiagnosed, anything present or anything past, anything trying to be a part of your identity. God's freeing you from the grip of those things. By the name of Jesus Christ, I declare freedom to you, precious woman. Keep praying, everybody. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. You're doing good. You're doing good. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Just let the Lord love on you. So, a demonic spirit came against you as a child. A demonic spirit tried to harass a father than you, but God's breaking you free. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. Thank you, God. All your promises. All your promises. Okay. Now we're doing good. Now, listen. If there's anything in your life that you say, Pastor, I have something that when I identify it, it represents oppressed living to me. It's an oppression. And tonight I'm going to claim my freedom. So any kind of hurtful presence of whatever it is, we're not going to ask you to pray for me. You say, Pastor, I want to be free too. There are two people here. God's setting you free from a chemical addiction. But there's a bunch of people here being set free from heart. So come on down if that's you. Let us pray for you. All your promises.
All your promises are yes and yes.
Beautiful. Come on, worship the Lord. All your promises.
All your promises are yes and yes.
This is interesting. You had two accidents, two injuries. One was really serious concerning your neck and back, and they put you on a painkiller. This is a few years ago, like 8 years ago. You've had trouble getting off the painkiller, both because of the presence of the pain, but then the necessity, the addictive nature of the painkiller. So I'm going to pray for two things for you: the healing of your back, your neck and your back, and the breaking of addiction. So wave your hand because God, someone's going to get a notable miracle. Is that you, honey? Okay, let me pray for you. Yeah, I got her. What's your name, honey? Romisha? Wilmisha, I'm sorry. Here. Look, you got a crown on. It's perfect, okay? This is your victory night, your breakthrough night. Lord, I thank you. Do you have a miracle for Miss Wilmisha tonight? And I declare her body healed, her blood freed, her mind liberated. Every place where there's been agony, pain, oppression, and bondage, the moment I touch you, I loose the power of God. I loose the miracle power of God to you. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command your back to be whole, your vertebrae to be restored, your bones healed, your nerves healed. Was the injury from your neck down, or where was the pain? Okay. Move any part of your body that it used to hurt if you'd move your right side. Yeah, so just move around a little bit. Pain has to go. So I declare over you that Jesus Christ is your medicine. That the medicine of heaven is yours to have in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And that freedom, complete and total freedom, is yours. It's completely yours in Jesus' mighty name. Faithful you are. Come on, lift your hands to heaven, everybody. Faithful you will be. Forever you will be.
Promises are yes and amen.
Rabado Masandia Kalabosh to Tabakia. Blood transfusion. Listen, two folks here tonight. One of them, it's began in the last like 18 months. Another person, like 5 years. You have regular, unpredictable, but regular panic attacks. So you're gripped by overwhelming anxiety, which causes, makes your heart feel like you're having a heart attack, makes you, your life incapable of function. Who here's been having, there's two people here that have, that you have panic attacks regularly. Wave your hand at me, because tonight we're just going to pray for you. And this, okay, would you let me pray for you guys, both of you? If you would let, yeah, come down, let me pray for you guys. So, who here has been healed from high anxiety or panic attacks? Okay, can a few of you come down and pray for my brothers and sister? We have a man and woman. I want you just to stand by them and pray for them and show them that Jesus can heal them. God, I declare freedom to my friend Cliff in Christ's name, whom the Son sets free. It's free indeed. Fear has to go. Fear has to go. Yeah. Some people come over here and pray for our lady here too. In the name of Jesus Christ, I loosen you from the grip of this thing. It ends. Okay. Look at me for a minute. So you had a really bad thing happen in a medical situation or a hospital or something. And so the devil keeps repeating the memory of that to you, which is overwhelming to you. But tonight God's changing your film. Okay, he's taking away that movie from playing over and over in your mind, tormenting you. It got it leaves, sir. Now in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for freedom. Man, that's a real miracle, sister. That's a real miracle. That's a real miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sergio, come ahead. Keep praying for Cliff. Put your hand in his heart right there. Yeah, you're getting a miracle, my brother. You're getting a miracle. Freedom, 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 freedom. Thank you, Jesus. All your promises. Hey, would you do this? We're going to dismiss in just 2 minutes. Would you join hands with someone next to you? Thanks for staying, you that stayed. I'm going to ask you just for a moment, would you pray for complete freedom and healing in any part of their life that needs it? Your kingdom come, your will be done. His will is freedom. His will is liberty. Unleash a powerful healing prayer, would you? Let Jesus use you to pray for someone tonight. God, we pray for freedom and healing, for life, for recovery, for restoration, for blessing, for breakthrough. Oppression has to go in any form from lives and families. Thank you, Jesus. God's really done a miracle in you. You're already living in a new season. There's something really, yeah, keep praying. There's something really flowing through. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you're doing it, Jesus. Thank you, God. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. Promises, my confidence.
Come on,
your faithful.
I will rest,
and I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. a cool vision. Anybody want to know what I just saw? So I saw three rows at CFTN filled with people, all kinds of people, all kinds of races and ages. And I said, Lord, who are they? And the Lord said to me, they're people I've set free from schizophrenia. That God's anointed this church with a grace for people to be set free from mental oppression. If anybody in your world has any mental disease or mental infirmity, I want you to lift your hands and say their names to God right now. God, thank you for healing my brothers, my sister, my sons, my daughters, my mother, whoever it is. We claim, we refuse to allow a permanency of diagnosis to abide in any child of God's mind or life, but we claim freedom. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Man, you're so good. Man, you're so good, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone tonight, if you want prayer for any reason, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, the free gift of everlasting life, if you've been away from God, please let us pray for you. Please let me, tonight be a turning point. If you need a physical healing, if you say, if the Holy Spirit's, listen, anytime you feel the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, don't rush out. Come forward and follow through with that and let God touch you. Anyone wanting prayer, come and join us down front. Mary and I love you. You're an awesome church. It's going to rock in here on Sunday. I promise you. Got a message burning my heart for it. Tell someone around you Jesus loves them. You're an awesome church. Have a great week. God bless you. Can you put the tape on for a minute? I'm going to pray for one other person. Come up, Evangelist Lucas. Lord, thank you for my friend. You can record it there. Thank you for Lucas. Thank you for your hand upon his life. Thank you for the calling he has, not small, but great. Thank you for obedience, radical obedience. Thank you, God, you brought him a long way to show him your grace in this place, to reveal the destiny. You could not find there what I have for you here. And what you're opening here is a treasure chest of newness, of new life and new revelation, new grace. And I'm releasing inside of you the bigness, the largeness of who you always were. And I've put you around men of stature and men and women of accomplishment. Not just so you'll learn from them, but so you'll begin to feel like one of them. For I'm determined to shake nations through you. To awaken a wounded, slumbering church. And to release an army of evangelists. And your assignment is not just to release fire and life where the churches crave and need. But your assignment is to identify evangelists and identify these ambassadors I'm raising up. For it is the season of harvest. And I am gathering together the harvesters. And you've come and they've said, why are you here? But the harvest is before you, son. And you will shortly see that in every city I send you, a harvest is waiting to be reaped. And the church will awaken. The cities will be taken. The enemy's power will be shaken. And new generations shall enter into the promise of this season. And like Joshua, you're crossing over. You're crossing over into the promised that I held for you in this land. This is your promised land. And I will bless your family, your children, and your life here. I saw someone literally give you the deed to a house. I loosened a miracle house given to your family. Radical obedience releases radical blessing. And you won't have to think in terms of financial planning, but you'll simply obey me. I'm going to take care of the finance. And I'm touching the hearts of two people that are going to support you for an unusual season in an unusual way. And the things you've worried about or things you prayed about, I've already released answers about. And you're going to see solutions marshal up. There is a prophetic person in your house. I loosen dreams to come beginning soon in the child's life. The season of prophetic encounters are going to shape a purposeful destiny that will soon be clear to all. God, I thank you for what you're doing. This awesome young man bless his wife and children. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm getting beat up a lot right now.
I'm sorry.
I'm make a better person as out of this. But anyway, I just wanted to come down and speak away. That's like,
could you take some pictures of me, please? Can you send them to me?
Yeah.
My wife is blessed.
I'll send you an email.
away.